So, this talk is going to be on articulating the Trinity. One of the issues that we run up against so often is people's understanding of the Trinity. So, how can we articulate the Trinity in a way that people can understand? So, this is a much shorter version. I got to preach on Psalm 110 several months ago, and so here's the truncated version. There is one God, and only one God. There are no other gods. This one God alone is eternal, immortal, immutable, almighty, and infinite. He and only He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, and holy. He alone is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the only Savior and Redeemer of mankind. This one God exists eternally and immutably in three coexistent, co-equal, co-eternal persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father is an eternally distinct person, the Son an eternally distinct person, and the Holy Spirit an eternally distinct person. And these three persons are the one God. The Father is truly God, the Son is truly God, and the Holy Spirit is truly God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. There are three whos and one what, three persons and one being. Sounds pretty familiar, right? The triunity of God is not only the essence of God Himself, but the substance of the gospel, as James talked about, the anchor of our assurance and the power of the Christian life. The triune God is the subject of our Bible studies, the object of our prayers, and the full and final reward that we will experience in heaven. It is the foundation of apologetics, as he said, the quest of philosophy, as he said, the measure of morality, and the reason of logic. He is the origin of creation, the core of education, the ground of liberty, and the quintessence of love. This is our triune God. Yet unbelievers struggle mightily with this truth, don't they? Heck, most of us struggle mightily to be able to communicate the truth of the Trinity, don't we? Well, that's because we have a hard time sometimes with understanding the Trinity. What's interesting is unbelievers don't seem to have as many qualms about the other incomprehensible attributes of God, do they? God is eternal. Have any of you guys tried to explain what eternal means? That's hard, isn't it? Do you understand? Anybody in here understand eternal? Anybody in here understand the infiniteness of God? And can you give me two examples for it? And yet, with the Trinity is the problem. Why? Why is that? Well, I think I know why. And that is that we know math. That's why. Right? When speaking of eternal spiritual reality, we have no real point of reference and are content with incomprehensibility. But when we speak of math, of 1 + 1, we do think we comprehend, don't we? And though we can hold to something that goes beyond our comprehension, we have a hard time believing in something that seems to go against our comprehension. And something being one and many seems, at least initially, to do that. After all, how can something be one and yet more than one? How can something be both one and many, a unity and diversity? I mean, wouldn't you at least expect some parts of creation to in some way reflect this essential truth about God? I mean, Psalm 19 tells us of the pervasive revelation of God in creation, that it is literally everywhere. So shouldn't we expect this one and manyness of God to shine forth in creation? Everybody shake your head. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't we expect that reality, which is one thing, to somehow be comprised of many components, kind of like, I don't know, time, space, and matter? Or for time, which is one thing, to have multiple aspects, like, I don't know, like past, present, and future? Or for matter, which is one thing, to have multiple states, like liquid, gas, and solid? Or space, to have multiple dimensions, like length, width, and height? Do you smell what I'm stepping in? It doesn't take too much contemplation to detect the pervasive one and manyness within creation. And that's just the tip of the spear, folks. education, academics, science, history, logic, and yes, math. In math, we look to solve problems, to find the one in the many, the composite answer to the multiple variables in an equation. All of creation is one and yet more than one. Everything displays unity and diversity, one and many. And that is actually where we get the word universe from. It is the combination, the compound of the words unity and diversity. And yet these are all shadows. They testify to triunity, and yet all of them are incomplete and have their limitations as examples. Yet I do think there is one illustration that is nearer than the others that avoids many of the pitfalls that we run up against when discussing the Trinity with other people. There's a mathematical expression that works as a great analogy that can help us to better articulate the wondrous truth of the triunity of God to others. And that is 1 times 1 times 1. So in this mathematical expression, I'm just going to look up at the slide, watch it with you guys. 1 times 1 times 1, the first thing that we will notice in this, go ahead and switch a slide, is there are three distinct numerals in this mathematical expression, right? The two ones, or the three ones, actually have relationships. So their identity is based upon the relationship to the other numerals in this expression. Go ahead to the next one. This way we know that the one is not the other one, which is not the other one, because of the relationship that they have within this. The first one has a distinct identity based upon its relationship to the other two. The second one as well, we see, has a relationship to the numerals on the left and the right of it. And also the third one, there is a relationship that it has to the two before it. Go ahead, keep going. Sorry, 10-minute talk. Get this in, right? In the same way, this is a parallel to the Godhead, who is three distinct persons. Their distinction is based, their identities are based upon their relationship with one another. So we see that the Father loves the Son in the love of the Spirit. There's the relationship there. We also see that the Father loves the Spirit in the love of the Son. Again, there's identity there based upon their relationship with one another. And finally, we see that the Father, or that the Son, loves the Holy Spirit in the love of the Father. It's going to get there. Watch. There it is. So their identity is based upon their relationship with one another. But that's just the first parallel that we see. There's a second parallel, and that is there is a functional order within the 1 times 1 times 1 expression. You see the first one is based upon, and it's first because it's a relationship to the other two, and so it's going to be with the second one as well, and with the third one, that each of them has an order within this mathematical expression. Make sense? And so it is within the Godhead. We have, go ahead, the three distinct persons, and the Father serves the primary role. The Son and the Spirit submit to the Father. The Father serves the primary role in creation, in his functions within the created order. The Son serves a secondary role. The Father begets the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. He serves in a secondary role within the creation order in which they interact with us. And the Spirit testifies to the Son and glorifies the Father. So there is a functional order within them. The next thing we're going to see with this math expression is there is equality. Each of these numerals is equal to one another, correct? 1 equals 1 equals 1. There is a basic essential being, an equality within them. And in the same way, the Father is equal to the Son. And the Father is equal to the Spirit. There is not a equality, there is not a being difference. They are equal to one another in being, and the difference that we see is within their functions with one another. And the Son is equal to the Spirit. So each of the three are equal to one another. There's another analogy, and that is this. What is 1 times 1 times 1 equal, folks? Anybody? Yeah. Even our little kids. Even little kids can get this one, right? 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. And so we can have three ones, and yet the product is still one. There are three persons. This parallels the Trinity because there are three whos and one what. Three persons and one being. So you can have the three, and yet it still equals one. But that isn't the fullness of it. There is one more. There's one more parallel that we have as well. And that is the essence of each of the individuals. So in the 1 times 1 times 1, we have each numeral, which is actually equal to the product itself. See how that works? And the Son. So the Father is fully God. He is truly God. The Son is truly God. The Holy Spirit is truly God. Each of those ones is equal to the fullness of the product, the fullness of the essence. And so the Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And yet 1 times 1 times 1 equals what? 1. And so I love using this. I have used it for years. I have used it to communicate with Jehovah's Witnesses, with Mormons, with regular unbelievers, because we're searching for this analogy to be able to use. And I find this one to be the best of them. So I wanted to give that to you. And hopefully you guys are blessed by that. And with that, we are going to go ahead and release. And we will be back here if you want to be in the drawing at 6:55. All right? Thank you, and have a great dinner.